Great to see so many people here today. That's fantastic. We need to do this every week, I think. And what, a few more people around? We've got grandparents. I think we've got aunties and uncles as well. And that's tremendous. Just a couple of things just to fill you in. Just remember that Christmas Eve, we actually have a carols night here on Christmas Eve. So whatever you're doing, whatever you've got planned for Christmas Eve with your family or anything like that, just cancel it and we'll be here. We're going to sing lots of carols. We're going to have lots of fun. And hopefully we can celebrate Jesus in a much more relaxed way than probably what we normally do. We don't expect any of our visitors here today to contribute financially to our church, so just a reminder for our regulars that you can do that online. You can do that as your own giving setup with your computer and all that sort of stuff. There is a little box down the back there if everybody continues to bring cash as well. You can do that just at the end of the service. But as I said, we're not expecting anybody who does not regularly attend our church to contribute in that way. So please just be mindful of that. Let's pray together as we think about a few things about Christmas. Heavenly Father, we are heading towards Christmas. It's looming large. So Lord, we're thinking about the Christmas story as the kids have presented to us. We're thinking about what that means into our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, as we think about your word this morning, that you would just reveal to us just a fresh glimpse of Christmas and a fresh glimpse of yourself. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before we jump launch into that, over the years, the many years that I've been in ministry, I have one question at this time of the year that I ask every year in all of my churches. Pop your hand up if you've finished your Christmas shopping. Some of you are in big, big trouble. There's a lot of people who didn't put their hand up. That you realise that the Christmas is next weekend. Okay, it's sneaking up on us. All right, as we lead up to Christmas, we're in a series just started last week, just to think about Christmas and to pull it all together. The creative title of Christmas 2023. We like to do things creatively here in this church, and that was as good as I could come up with. That's what we're stuck with, Christmas 2023. Last week we thought about why Mary, and we went through a few things just trying to think about her and her role in the Christmas story and how God pulled it all together, and Mary became central to that whole story. So the guest this week then is, what do you think the sermon is about this week?
Joseph.
Why Joseph? That's exactly right. Why Joseph? We had why Mary last week, we've got why Joseph this week. Now, I don't know if Mark Huggins is going to continue his series on sidekicks when he preaches next time he's up. Mark's been working for a very long time, because he's not up here very often, on sidekicks. These were the people beside the people who had all the fame. And he titled it sidekicks, and he's been running us through quite a number of those people. And Joseph, I think, is one of those people. He's one of those sidekicks. He's one of those people who sort of not, he's central to the story, but he sort of gets shuffled aside a little bit as we focus in on Mary in particular. He's often painted as a plus one to the celebrity. But there's a whole heap of stuff that we can learn from Joseph in the Christmas story that makes Joseph, in my mind, a hero. He's not just a sidekick, he's not just the plus one, he's not just there because somebody had to be there. He's actually quite central, and we tend to overlook this because all the focus is on Mary. Now last week, as we thought about Mary, one of the criteria of her being chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus was that she had to give birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. And this was a prophecy from hundreds of years before Jesus arrived, hundreds of years before this whole Christmas story that we know and love. This was a prophecy from Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, if you want to check your Bibles. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And right through the history of the Jewish people, this was always, and it still is, a prophecy that for the Jewish people, because they don't believe in Jesus, they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. But this is a prophecy that when Jesus arrived, all of these people looked at this and they said, "Ah, wow, must be the Messiah, because fulfilled one of the prophecies that we've been expecting. And as a direct descendant of King David, Joseph had to go to David's hometown to register for the census. Now, this is a male-dominated society, way different to the world that we live in. Mary is also a direct descendant of David, but she didn't actually need to go to Bethlehem. She didn't have to go. This prophecy has been given, but Mary was, as a direct descendant, she didn't have to go, because being married to David, he could have gone to Bethlehem, just ticked all the boxes, whatever they had to do for the census, said, "Mary's my wife," another person. She didn't have to go. But Joseph is the reason for the fulfilled prophecy from Micah. Because of Joseph being a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem. So that's why the whole story centres around Bethlehem. So Joseph, he already looms large as a significant player in the Christmas story. So while he looms large, what makes him a hero? And these are my thoughts about why Joseph is a hero. You might have other thoughts, as you know the Christmas story just as well as I do, as to what makes him a hero. But I think just thinking about him as a hero, talking about him as a hero, it elevates his role and gives him this rightful place in this whole story. And the hero point number one is that Joseph stuck with Mary. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Again, this is a way different society than we live in today, and a pregnancy outside of marriage was an absolute disgrace. These are religious people. These are people who live by the Old Testament law. Their faith is central to everything that they do. The Old Testament law is their guiding, that's their laws of their land. And this idea that a young woman would be pregnant outside of marriage was abhorrent. Try and find the strongest word that you can, and that fits. Way different to today. Honouring God for these people was at the forefront of their minds. Sex outside of marriage was worse than shocking, and a pregnancy, well, that was just plain unforgivable. You don't have to go back too far in our culture to know what some of this is like. I can remember as a kid growing up, and you know, people weren't living together before marriage in those days. That was all brand new. I can't even remember anybody in my little hometown who might have been doing that. But when some poor teenage girl became pregnant, that was a scandal in the little town of Nathalia. Well, I think we had 1,200 people in the town, then there was a farming community around it. And everybody knew. Everybody knew. Word travelled, it just whooshka. Everybody knew what was going on. And I guess there's a lot of people here my age and a little bit older where we understand sort of get a bit of a glimpse of this shock that happens in the town when this happens. Multiply that by about 1,000 in the culture that we're talking about today. It's not just gossip worthy as it was in Nathalia. The gossip got around, everybody knew. People in Nazareth would have been hostile to this news, absolutely hostile. Mary's pregnancy is such a disgrace that Joseph was about to do what every other bloke in his position at that time would have done, and he was about to divorce Mary. You see, initially he didn't believe her. Why would he believe her? This is just nonsense. If somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I've had an angel tell me, and you know, all this is going to happen, everything else," we as Christian people, we're probably going to take a few steps back and say, I wonder. As the word spread around that Mary is supposedly pregnant to what? Who? God? It's nonsense for everybody in the whole community. So for Joseph, he gets the news because Mary tells him. She tells him her story. And he's got serious question marks about all of this, as he would. See, Christmas sermons usually focus on Mary's disgrace and humiliation and what she was going to face and all that sort of stuff in the community. And it focuses on her courage to say yes and to go through with all of this and you know, I'm your servant, God. But Joseph would have been in exactly the same boat. Maybe even worse. He's probably the laughing stock of the town. He's denying that the baby is his, but his fiancée's pregnant, claiming that God did it. And in the minds of the people of Nazareth, Joseph is either a liar or just a fool. He's a fool for believing what Mary's told him, or he's lying. It's not me, it's not me. And Joseph is thinking what everybody else in that situation would have thought, and he wants to divorce her. But he didn't, despite all the ramifications. The hero point number two is that Joseph loved Mary. Again, way different culture than we have today. This is an arranged relationship. They're engaged, they're betrothed, the Bible says, which is as good as a marriage if you like, except the betrothal lasts a year before they actually get married and move in together. But yet, to break the betrothal, to break the engagement, it's a formal divorce. Matthew 1:19, just we read that just a minute ago, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. We often focus on Mary trying to get her head around her situation, but it's just as traumatic for Joseph. Trying to get his mind around his fiancée, the pregnancy, her claims, their future. It's obviously not his baby. Why should he care? And there's a whole heap of implications just living in that town of, I said, 450 people perhaps. But he does what everybody else is going to do. He decides to divorce her, but it says he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. I think that's a sign of their relationship. I think that's a sign of his love to Mary. Although this is just an awful situation, he's decided she's not worthy of the abuse. And if I just open my mouth, if I make the comment, if I go to the Pharisees, if I go to the priest and I say, hey, look what my fiance's done. Oh, what a divorce. Mary was in big trouble. Do you remember the woman caught in adultery, if you know your Bible? Remember that story, the woman caught in adultery? She's sleeping with some bloke and they drag her out of the house and they put her in the pit and they've all got the stones in their hand. Because she was having sex outside of marriage, she is about to have stones thrown on her until she dies. This could very well have happened to Mary. And Joseph's initial idea, the angel hasn't appeared yet, Joseph's initial idea is, well, let's just keep all this quiet. I want to protect Mary. I don't want any harm to come to her. But this is not right. Quiet divorce. Verse 19 says, Joseph was faithful to the law. He knew his scriptures. He knew his Old Testament. He knew the law. He knew his rights. But his love for Mary made him want to protect her. He chose to divorce her quietly. That was his idea. So that she didn't become a victim of, well, who knows what. I think that tells us that there was much more to the relationship than just an arranged marriage. Maybe an arranged marriage back in those days, maybe once they'd worked each other out a little bit in this 12 months of engagement, maybe any excuse to divorce might have been on the forefront of their minds. But it's not for Joseph. He loves them. Hero point number three, Joseph protected Mary. We sort of thought about that a little bit. But here's a question in my mind as I was thinking through all of this. What on earth was Joseph doing taking a heavily pregnant Mary to Bethlehem for the census? It appears that as soon as they get there, she goes into labour and she has the baby. So she's well and truly due. She's imminent. This birth is imminent. I'm just looking out at the crowd and all the mothers here have got little smiles on their faces. You know exactly what I'm saying. What are you, 8.5 months in? And you have a 150-kilometre trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I said last week when we thought about Mary, she probably didn't have the luxury of any horse or donkey or anything like that. She probably walked. More than likely that she walked. 8.5 months into this pregnancy, it's 150 kilometres from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Normal walking pace is 5 kilometres an hour for the normal person. 5 kilometres an hour for 10 hours a day is 50 kilometres. This is a 3-day trip for healthy, non-heavily pregnant people. In Mary's condition, I'm thinking this trip is going to take longer than 3 days. Are you with me? Do you agree with that? If we factor in all the toilet stops along the way at 8.5 months pregnant, this is probably a 3-week trip on her feet. Why on earth did Joseph take Mary with him? He didn't have to. I said that before. He didn't have to take her. He was the one who had to go to the census. Wives were not obligatory. He was the important one. He ticks all the boxes. Here we are, and you know, there's me and there's my pregnant wife. I think one of the reasons is because he wanted to protect her. I think one of the reasons he took her from that little town, that little village of 450 potentially hostile people. There were definitely some hostile people in that town. I think he wanted to take her out of that environment because he had to leave her. And I think he took her out of that with him, so that she was safe. For 9 months, Mary's been the talk of the town. Hostile people. Potentially some of those people wanted to stone her. And I think Joseph felt it was safer if Mary was with him, even though it was going to be a tough trip. In my mind, Joseph is becoming much more of a hero, much more of a central figure in all of this, and perhaps we've given him credit for over the years. Hero point number four, Joseph said yes to God. He's confused, he's upset, he's feeling betrayed, embarrassed, he's facing ridicule. He's probably been threatened by Mary's father. Where was Mary's parents in all of this story? I sat at my desk and I thought, what's going on for them in all of this? Joseph needs a reassuring word from the angel. And in Matthew 1, 20 to 21, and the kids displayed it this morning in the play, said, but after he had considered this, after he had considered the quiet divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then the angel kicked Joseph while he was asleep. Did you get that in the play? It's not in the Bible, but it was good. The reassurance from the angel, it changed everything for Joseph. His whole mindset changed. He started to understand this whole story. He started to understand that his fiancée is not a liar. He's starting to understand that this is something from God. He's starting to understand that his part in this is pretty important. He's starting to understand that divorce is not an option. He's starting to understand that he needs to be right beside Mary every step of the way. Joseph has enough faith to recognise a word from God in a dream. He has enough devotion to surrender the rest of his life to the will of God. He has enough knowledge of the word of God to know that if this is all true, then he needs to get Mary to Bethlehem. Two reasons why Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem. One, I suspect to protect her. Two, because he knew the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The experts suggest that any Jew with just a little knowledge of the scriptures would know that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. As I've said a couple of times through this Easter season, and it still sort of amazes me a little bit, there was just a heightened expectation at that time that the Messiah was going to arrive. Nobody knows why, and I think that's, again, it's just a movement of God, just a movement of the Holy Spirit, just through God's people, just saying a little bit of something, and this whole nation was expecting the Messiah to be born at this time. Joseph, maybe through the things that are being said, maybe through all this stuff that's taking place, Joseph would have known the prophecy. Maybe the people are talking about it. Maybe they're talking about Bethlehem. The Messiah is going to arrive. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Would have been a logical conclusion. Mary would have known this prophecy. And as the dominoes fell in their understanding of what was going on, Bethlehem was always going to be their destination. Something that over the last couple of weeks, again, just sitting quietly at my desk and just rereading the story and just trying to work through it all in my own mind and in my own heart. Just how amazing is God to pull all this together? We thought particularly about that last week and Mary's role. We're thinking about the same thing. We're thinking about the person Joseph. But behind all of this is God manoeuvring the circumstances to fulfil the prophecies from hundreds of years before, to make all this work so that Joseph gets Mary to where she needs to be for the birth of the Saviour of the world. I think Joseph is an unsung hero. In faith, there's always, at least in my mind, when we read these stories, there's always a what if in my mind. Sort of sliding doors moment, if you're familiar with that phrase. What if? Last week we thought, what if Mary had said no? Today, if we think about Joseph, what if Joseph had said no? What if Joseph had to put his own pride before God's will? What if Joseph had have heard the angel, woke up in a dream and said, I think that was an angel. I think something's going on. I think God's having something to say about this. But I'm not going through the next rest of my life for the next 9 months. I'm not going through all of that ridicule. I'm not having my mates every time I go down to the pub laughing at me every time I walk in the door. I'll never be able to show my face again in this town. What if he had said, it's not worth it? No Christmas. No Christmas as we know it, that's for sure. Joseph is an unsung hero. He's often thought of as merely a bit player to the star of the show, Mary. But I would suggest that he plays just as vital a role in fulfilling the will of God as Mary does. Joseph is a man of faith. He's courageous. He's devoted to both Mary and God. He's loving and protective. And he's surrendered to the will of God. Sounds like a bit of a keeper, doesn't he, ladies? What do you want in a husband? He's ticking a lot of boxes. Maybe some of the men here, we've got a little bit of work to do to maybe get to Joseph's level. But I think he's a hero. I think he was essential in paving the way for the birth of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. And I think that we're here today as recipients of the grace that has been poured into our lives through the birth, death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we think through all of this, there's just so much in your word to contemplate and to think about. And Lord, I pray that as we enter into this Christmas season, 1 week to go, all of the things that are going to take place, all the busyness that is just normal for us at this time of the year, Lord, I just pray that like Mary and Joseph, that you would break in. That you would be much more than just the final day, Christmas Day. But for today and tomorrow and the rest of the week, in the middle of all of the things that we have to do, all the things that we want to get right for our Christmas celebrations, Lord, might you be like the angel appearing to Mary and might like the angel in a dream to Joseph, just so evident in everything that we do, simply because we set our minds to it. Lord, I pray that as we do that, as we think through Mary's life and Joseph's life, their willingness to say yes, Lord, might yes be on our lips over and over and over and over again. Not just for this Christmas, but for the rest of our lives. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.